Good morning, it's 7:08, and you're listening to Upfront. I'm Janine Etter. Protests that began in Nicaragua in April of this year over the government's lack of response to the forest fire at the Indio Maíz Natural Reserve have escalated into a massive uprising to end impunity, human rights violations, and general corruption under President Daniel Ortega, according to protesters. Next week, the Caravan for Solidarity with Nicaragua comes to the Bay Area. We speak with protester Julio Martinez, member of Articulacion, the group organizing the caravan, about what's happening on the ground in Nicaragua, the caravan, and its demands. So, Julio Martinez, thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So, what's happening in Nicaragua right now?
At this very moment, as you know, we're at about 120 days after the protests initially started. The first 3 months of the protests included very heavy attacks from the government to the protesters that were heavily armed and which resulted in many deaths. And at this moment right now, the repression is focused more through the wide variety of institutions, which include the judicial system. A lot of people are being tried for terrorism, for having supported the roadblocks, and for having marched against the government. Teachers are being fired for having, even when there's a suspicion that they were part of the protest in any way. Doctors are being fired. Close to 200 have been fired up to now from the health system. And there's harassment. Say harassment in many ways, whether it's through social media or through phone calls. I mean, anyone that has been linked to the protest up to now that has any kind of leadership at the local level is being targeted and is being repressed constantly.
And what led up to the protests?
A wide array of things. Kind of the things that started about 10 days before was that, for instance, on April 11th, there was a protest against the government's response to a forest fire in one of the main reserves called Indio Maíz. So it was mainly environmentalists, many students who were protesting, and they were repressed by the police. They were pushed back. They were very violently kind of repressed during their march. Several days later, there was a Social Security reform that was announced in a kind of surprise. And it said that people that normally receive Social Security would receive 5% less, and anyone that contributes, whether it's individuals or the private sector, would have to pay more. That was received by much angst, I would say, from especially the elderly who marched the next day with many people, with the students primarily, marched during the day. And in those marches, especially in León and Managua, those were brutally repressed as well, to the point that about 40 of these paramilitaries, that's when we started seeing them most recently, at that point, beat up the protesters who were only starting to organize around the protest for the Social Security reforms. Those videos that were taken from every angle in broad daylight of them being beaten up became viral and made it so that many hundreds more took the streets on April 9th. And that was on April 18th, and April 19th, many hundreds more took the streets. When those people took the streets, the level of violence against them was something that no one expected. The police and other groups linked to the police were working together to repress those protests and started shooting at the protesters. There were three dead the first day. So it wasn't just the deaths, but the amount, the level of kind of brutal repression, physically, even with rubber bullets, where a lot of kids, you know, university students, 18 years old, lost their eyes, and everyone could see how these guys were shooting at the crowds. That outraged the entire population, and by April 20th, that crowd multiplied even more, mainly young people. But just in general, Nicaraguan society, who saw young people being shot at and wanted to help any way that they could, whether it was taking them food or water or transportation, but just doing or just joining them, there was just an overwhelming sense of solidarity with these people that we were seeing on social media, being attacked on social media. On April 20th, they were about 20 dead, and by that point, it was a much more serious crisis. By that point, people were asking, for there to be ouster of the head of the police, some sort of justice throughout the state to make up for these deaths. And some people are already calling for Tigger to resign for that many people having died. This continued, and the government didn't back down at all. It actually continued to attack. On the one side, they also started at the same time this campaign of kind of defaming the protesters, saying that these were hooligans and who just wanted to steal, and that the police were trying to keep law and order. But since everyone knew somebody that was involved in one way or another, and was seeing. Footage from every angle from these friends, everybody that was filming on Facebook Live, nobody was buying it. The government continued the attack. The students tried to kind of set up at one of the universities. They were kicked out. Then they went to the cathedral, and they were allowed in the cathedral. And then they went to a different university and kept the university. So that was kind of the immediate start of these protests. But this is just an accumulation of many years of repression from the Nicaraguan government, and the people have just decided that they're completely fed up.
And on that first day, when you were saying that three people were killed, one of them was a police officer. And so that helped with the narrative that the police were being targeted by the protesters. What's your response to that?
Right. That is, unfortunately, I don't know all the details about that police officer, but the thing is that during that entire day, everyone was glued to our social media, to the news. We were all glued to seeing how the police was attacking the protesters. There was no footage from anywhere of a group of armed protesters shooting at the police. So clearly something happened there that shouldn't have happened. But overwhelmingly, the activity going on that day was police shooting at the students. And that's what made people go out the next day in much larger numbers. So absolutely, that definitely should have never happened, and I don't know exactly what the circumstances around that were, but that was neither the reason why the police should continue shooting at the students, and was definitely not the reason that the Nicaraguan population went out. And there has never been a call from any of these groups to form any kind of armed resistance against the government. If you can see any of the communications from any of these groups, it's always focusing on nonviolence. And you can see that from all of the marches, these record-breaking marches that we've had since April, 500,000 being the largest on Mother's Day, in which the protesters were shot up with snipers. And so I understand that, you know, many people from the government keep going back to what happened on that first day and talking about that one person dead. But the numbers or the evidence don't show that this was in any way some sort of armed insurrection from the protesters at all. That's why one of the first things that was called on was for there to be international observation throughout, which they finally agreed on because they saw that the opposition would not accept dialogue without there being international human rights groups present who could go to the site, interview everybody around, and find out what was actually happening. Fortunately, that was the only thing that the government actually has given up in terms of their demands. They did allow for the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights to come in, for Amnesty International, for Human Rights Watch, for the High Commissioner for Human Rights. All of them have come in and have all seen the exact same thing. So despite the Nicaraguan government's focus on trying to say that this is some sort of armed insurrection and some sort of coup, any neutral party inside the country doesn't see that.
And how many civilian deaths have happened since the protest started?
Over 300. The lowest number is 317, which is the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights. The highest number is 448, which is from one of the local human rights groups, which is, by the way, now in exile because of the amount of threats that they've received.
So from the start of the protest till now, have they continued with the same intensity that they started with?
The protests have continued. They have not stopped in the least. There's a lot of people who are extremely afraid, but the protests have never stopped. One thing that's kind of one of the many things that all of the groups, because there are many groups protesting, that all agree on is the need to stay on the streets until that there is an end to the repression and some sort of justice for what's happening, for what's happened up to now. So the protests haven't stopped, and the government's reaction to the protest hasn't stopped either. It has just changed. When there were these massive marches towards the beginning that were shooting at them, when there were roadblocks from the farmers' movement who wanted to support the students that were set up at about 150 points, the government set up these huge group of paramilitaries to destroy all of those roadblocks, who would work jointly with the police. And now that the roadblocks are gone, and that so many people have died or been injured, the main focus is to put people in jail. There are about 200 people in jail right now, and that many of them are being tried for terrorism. And it's harassment, and it's making sure that you don't have a livelihood by kicking out anybody who may have been linked to the protest. So that's much of the reaction. But the protests have never ended. To give you an idea, over the weekend, protests were set up in Granada, in León, and in several other cities, asking for the release of the political prisoners. In response, the government started arresting arbitrarily people all over the place. One of the cases was of close to 20 students that were arrested as they were on the way to a protest. They were arrested arbitrarily, and after there was this national and international outcry, they were released like 8 hours later. But a different group was arrested in León, part of that same student movement, and they have not been released yet. And they are being accused of terrorism as well. And that's the mechanism that they're using to shut the opposition up. Essentially, it's make everyone fearful enough that they won't go out on the streets anymore. But that hasn't worked.
And can you give us a little bit of history about the Nicaraguan Revolution and who the Sandinistas and the Contras were?
Sure thing. So between 1937 and 1979, there was a Somoza dictatorship. It was a brutal dictatorship started by Anastasio Somoza and then one of his sons and then a second one of his sons that was also named Anastasio. The Sandinista Liberation Front started in the early 60s as a group of students that were organizing against the tyranny of the state. They lasted, it took about 17 years to organize and allow for the state brutality to get worse and then kind of for there to be gain real popular support to the point that by 1978 there were armed insurrections in many cities. In 1979, the insurrections continued, and finally, in July of 1979, the Sandinista Revolution won. It won with a broad coalition of clearly the revolutionary fighters, but also support from people from the middle, say the many Christian groups that were part of this, some from the private sector. There was just a general consensus that the dictator had to go. After 79, especially, you know, several years, let's say there was about 1 year of really solid peace, and then shortly after the Reagan administration, once they came into power, saw them as a real threat in the region and started financing the Contras, which was a group of started by former National Guard, and then kind of grouping many other kind of people that were not happy with the Sandinistas being in power, and essentially this was part of this entire Iran-Contra deal, where the Reagan administration found funds through this deal that they had selling weapons in Iran and then financing the Contras, and that lasted pretty much until 1989, maybe even 90 with the elections, in which the Sandinista Party lost to an opposition coalition. The Sandinista Party is considered progressive, left-wing. It was seen by many in the international left as a real kind of example.
Well, your current president, Daniel Ortega, is or was a former Sandinista?
Sure. So Ortega was one of many kind of leaders within the revolution. There was especially a group of nine comandantes from three different groups. So he was one of nine. And when it was time to think about who would be in a junta that would start in 1979, they came to kind of a consensus on who would represent them. So between kind of the intellectual Sandinista leaders on one side and then the other and the main military leaders who were Tomás Borges and Henry Ruiz, they kind of decided to go not for any of them, but go for Daniel, whom they thought was somebody that could get along with all groups and represent them. So he was part of the junta that lasted for several years. He was then elected president in 1984. So he was president during that time. And then his presidency started again in 2006. By the time it started in 2006, most of the Sandinista old guard had already left him. They left him for many reasons, mainly his autocratic style within the party that they didn't agree with. Later, because of a pact that he signed with the extreme right wing, including Arnoldo Alemán, who is often considered one of the most corrupt presidents in Latin American history by Transparency International. He signed a pact where they essentially cornered the Nicaraguan politics, made it so that many other parties couldn't run, and started dividing up the powers between the two of them. And so when that happened, many of the last Sandinistas that were from the 1980s that were still with him abandoned him and said that didn't represent them anymore. So by the time he gets to 2006, his support within the left, it was kind of very small out of the people that were there during the 1980s and 1970s.
So talk about the caravan for solidarity with Nicaragua.
The group that I'm part of, which is the Platform for Social Movements and Civil Society Organizations, which is one of the main kind of umbrella groups in Nicaragua, have been organizing since they started different caravans. They started in Europe about 3 months ago, started in later in South America. They're in Uruguay right now and will be going elsewhere. And the idea is that Nicaraguan activists can speak directly to the population, can speak directly to the population about the human rights abuses, and also speak to anyone that's been receiving these messages from the government. Because we know that a lot of reasonable people, a lot of good people, especially people that supported the Nicaraguan struggle when we needed them most in the 1970s and 80s, have received these messages from the government about this being some sort of CIA-sponsored coup. And so there's plenty of empathy with those people, but I do think we need to talk, because there's no way that they can continue to believe this, given the overwhelming amount of evidence. So we want to talk to them. We want to have, you know, very basic kind of conversations about this, and really be able to come to agreements about how they can be supportive and how can they be supportive of human rights in general, human rights in Nicaragua, and a transition to a fair democracy in Nicaragua. So this will be starting in the U.S. next week in the Bay Area, being organized by a group called Bay Area Autoconvocados, which is people that are expressing solidarity with Nicaragua, many people who are expressing solidarity in the 70s and 80s, but also many Nicaraguans that are working from the outside, given that the Nicaraguan diaspora has been key to placing the pressure from every corner that they can. So those are the people that have been organizing this and will receive a group of activists next week.
And what events are happening in the Bay Area specifically?
There will be activities at UC Berkeley on September 5th, and also at San Francisco State University on September 6th. Those are the main ones, and then several other events going on at night times. Anyone that's interested in the situation in Nicaragua and helping out is welcome to come. Even if they currently don't agree with what's going on, they could be supportive.
And what are the requests that the caravan is making?
One is that the international community pay attention, they pay attention to what's going on in Nicaragua. One of the main things that the Nicaraguan government is trying to convince people from the outside is that everything was over. It was a right-wing coup, but now it's over, so everything can go back to normal, make the tourists come back and all this. And we're telling them, don't allow this to happen, and focus on your groups, your local groups, and focus as much as possible on supporting the cause that's happening. Whether it's, you know, ask if your local church has a link to the local churches in Nicaragua that have been essential for providing sanctuary and help to those people that have been persecuted by the government. Ask your representatives and your local and state governments to to ask higher level people to put pressure through any international bodies such as the OAS and the UN, and just asking you to pay attention and help in any which way that you can.
And what stance has the U.S. taken on this conflict?
So, at different levels, there have been different aspects, such as in the Senate, there was a bipartisan bill to set up individualized sanctions against people who are responsible for the human rights abuses and for corruption. So they will be pushing that through the Senate. And which has the support of Patrick Leahy and Tim Kaine and other prominent Democrats, as well as some Republicans. Their stance at the OAS has been firmly against the Nicaraguan government, along with almost all of the Latin American countries, putting pressure, asking the government to cease the repression and to allow for the human rights groups in the country to do their work. So they've been calling that consistently. And so in terms of the executive, they've also supported kind of the motions within the OAS and the UN to put pressure on the Nicaraguan government.
So, Julio Martinez, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was organizer Julio Martinez, member of the platform for social movements and civil society called Articulacion, the group organizing the caravan for solidarity with Nicaragua, which comes to the Bay Area next week.